We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The bang, mom.
Hit it, Anna. Sing that verse. Here she goes.
Low, low, and dips. Turn the game on.
You
not
do
too
better.
Lows. You got your Joe in there.
I was trying to pay him back, pay homage. He skipped you, so I just said dibs and low.
You know what? I'd prefer you leave me out of there. How about that? Welcome back. Joe Low and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Sean Livingston set to join us at 9:30 a.m. We've got a great interview with Eric Dickerson we want to share with you at about 9:15. Serious conversations for serious people. That's what we do around here, at least during these one-minute breaks that we have at the top of the hour. 1 minute. Other stations, they might go away for 8-10 minutes, leave you hanging. We got you covered. We're right back in action every single morning at the top of the hour. The serious conversation we had just a few moments ago was, what would everyone in here's role be if we were the A-team? Now, let's make it very clear. An A-team, this is not, my friends. This is no A-team. This is no A-team. But if we were to fill the roles, I think we have some pretty solid assignments here. It's really not even up for debate.
Wrong.
Yeah, pretty clear. Pretty clear. You're the boss, so you'd be Hannibal.
And
Hannibal,
cigar, I'd be Hannibal.
Right. He'd have to be Hannibal.
I'm the slightly off-center Murdoch, flying the helicopters and getting under the skin of B.A. Baracus over here.
I mean, was it even a question? Oh, let's pick who Low going to be. Hello, duh.
Yeah.
And a lot of options there, huh, guys?
Well, it all works out.
W.P.
Don't even go there with me. Anna Kakanakis, of course, the beauty of the show, has to be faced.
Yeah, absolutely. Just perfectly.
Absolutely.
And it just leaves you, coincidentally, the black guy being the black guy.
It is a coincidence, Low.
Doesn't make me any kind of ism, because it all happened to work out. Doesn't make me the bad guy. I'm not the bad guy. You're the bad guy.
Also coincidentally, if this were Miami Vice, you would have to be Tubbs.
Oh, you think? No one wants to be Tubbs. No one but me.
Here comes an update.
I can't follow that up.
Too bad, buddy.
I can't follow that up. The Warriors find a way into the victory circle. 12th straight W. Steve Kerr praising Draymond's phenomenal D afterward.
I don't know if I've ever seen a sequence like that from one guy, although, you know, the whole team was defending well, and we covered up shooters and we switched well, but those two plays ended up with one-on-one plays against Draymond. He blocks both shots off of the other guy's bodies and then closed out on Millsap on the final three.
The defense, incredible, Joe, in that last sequence. How critical is Draymond at that end particularly?
Oh, my God. You see the way he's playing? Runner-up for Defensive Player of the Year twice. This year, he might be making that push to put himself over the hump. It's kind of refreshing, with as dominant as this team has been, especially on the offensive end of the court, to see a game like this where when defense needed to prevail, defense did, in fact, prevail. 12 straight wins for your Golden State Warriors.
Warriors hosting the Houston Rockets on Thursday. Story number two, Monday Night Football, goes to the Packers. Aaron Rodgers, a nice day with 313 yards and two touchdowns. The defense also did its work.
Second and 10 from the Green Bay, 45-yard line. Wentz, that throw sailed out of his hand high, intercepted by Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
Sean McDonough from Monday Night Football. Low, Davante Adams. He had a pretty good game. Where's he from?
Fresno State. When I say Fres, you say no, Fres.
No.
Fres.
No.
That boy got it down, Joe. He got down. Davante Adams was absolutely amazing. He absolutely carried Aaron Rodgers last night.
Packers. That's hyperbole at its finest.
Packers and Eagles both 5-6 as week 12 in the rearview mirror. Only 5 more weeks, Joe, of the regular season. Where's it going?
Oh, my God. Can you believe it? We got the college football playoff right around the corner. The NFL playoffs are breathing down our neck. This is crunch time, ladies and gentlemen. For the Oakland Raiders, one message. Don't get caught overlooking this Buffalo Bills team, thinking about Kansas City next week. One game at a time. Keep doing what you've been doing.
We'll preview that as the rest of this final hour continues on. Story number three, Sharks and Arizona Coyotes tonight at the SAP Center. San Jose will play in LA tomorrow to face the Kings. That's your update. I'm Dan Dibley on your new home of the Golden State Warriors, 95-7 The Game.
Thank you, Dibs. 25 minutes from now, Sean Livingston set to join the program. Draymond Green joining Damon Bruce today at 4:30. And speaking of Draymond Green, very happy to welcome in the mother of Draymond Green, Mary Babers Green, with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Mary, good morning. How's this for intro music for you?
We got you, mama.
Okay.
So we'd like to begin by wishing you a happy Thanksgiving. We talked to you before the holiday last week. How'd the holiday go for you?
I guess it went okay. I didn't do anything. I stayed in the bed.
Sometimes that's the best, isn't it?
Yeah.
So last night, it was one of the closer games the Warriors have played in recent weeks, 105-100 over Atlanta. It's obviously got to be a thrill for you to watch your son go out and do what he does every single night. But the star at the end of the game last night, how do you handle the final minute of action like that as his mom? Are you standing? Are you pacing? What are you doing?
Everything, a little bit of both. You know, I still do that when you put your hand over your eyes and look between your fingers. I still do that thing too.
So were you looking through your fingers after the second block when your son got loose with a crazy little dance step? Where do those dance moves come from, Mary? Does that come from you?
No, I was actually on the floor laughing. It was hilarious. No, that didn't come from me. I'm a little better than that.
How strong of a case is your son making for Defensive Player of the Year with the consistency that you're seeing night in and night out, Mom?
I mean, I actually have to think he's making a really good case. I just look at it, you know, Draymond, he's not really that tall. And he does a great job with his size, you know, arm length, everything. He just does a great job defending that ball.
And when you think about, you like you said, it's not really not that tall for a center. He can play all five positions. Where does he get that tenacity from, not to back down to the big guys and just guys like, I'm not scared, let's play ball?
He got it from his mama.
Mary Babers Green with Joe Lo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Obviously, when the Warriors are playing, we're sure you're tuned in as closely as can be. But do you ever watch any other teams around the NBA? Any other players or teams catch your eye? Is exciting to watch?
Man, I watch just about every game. You know, I just click back and forth until I get to the Warriors. And being that we play later than most teams, I get to see a lot of – I'm really, really impressed with Russell Westbrook. I like DeMarcus Cousins. I watch Anthony Davis, you know. But Russell Westbrook is, he's amazing.
He's been having a dynamite season after last night's performance against the Knicks, I believe. He's now averaging a triple-double on the year. But you mentioned Boogie Cousins. Last night, monster performance. I think it was like 36 points and 20 boards for the Kings. Do you think at some point Sacramento's going to move him to a different city? Wouldn't that benefit Boogie to be playing somewhere else?
They'll be crazy playing where? Leave him where he at and just build around the kid.
Mary Babers Green joining us here on 95.7 The Game. You've seen this Warrior team throughout the year this year, and you've seen a number of slow starts. You even tweeted about some of the slow starts. What can they do, in your opinion, to avoid starting slowly in some of these games?
Just get a little hype, I guess, and start in the locker room. Start dancing, you know, get your blood flowing, something. You know, get hype back there.
Yeah, you know, Mary, when you think about this team, you talk about the slow start and the different things. How is it, like, when you see Kerr and your son, the dynamics? He seems like he knows how to push certain buttons. You see those guys kind of go at it at different times. What type of relationship do they have, and how much does he kind of fuel and punch the, you know, poke the bear in Draymond?
Probably a lot. He's Kerr, Dre, and it just works. You know, when you get to know who your players are and find out that little thing that makes them tick, you do whatever you have to do to make them get into it. You know, just, hey, he's a coach. Make him do what he do.
Mary Babers Green with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Mary, as always, we love catching up with you on Tuesdays. Thank you so much for your time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks for having me.
You got it. Mary Babers Green, ladies and gentlemen. Darn right, get that music going when she's on her way out and on the way in.
I had a question for you guys since you guys were on that little ramp. Do we have time or we got to go to break?
You know what? We got time, son. We always got time for you.
I appreciate it. Question for you, Joe. I'm going to ask Joe the first question, and then Dibs, you'll be the next one, all right?
So you got multiple questions,
yes,
is what you're saying.
Yes, yes. All right. Okay. If we're watching Heat of the Night, Joe, or Dibs, rather, who would I be?
Heat of the Night, I don't know what that is.
Well, there's two. You think? I think Dibs know.
If there's an African American cast member, then odds are I would assign him or her to you.
I'd like to weigh in on this. Who are the individuals that are in? I don't stereotype like Dibs. I don't see race. I would like to know who the. I just thought you fit Tubbs better, and I thought you fit B.A. Baracus better.
You know, Alan Autry's in there. You know, he played for Green Bay, Alan Autry, and then forget the sheriff's name, and you have a couple of those guys, Dibs. I'm kind of blanking here. I thought you would know. But then we had the Texas Rangers. You guys watched Texas Ranger, of
Walker,
course.
Texas Ranger.
Can you give
Ranger?
Me something more modern, please? Like, what is this stuff?
Miami Vice.
Well, yeah, Tubbs.
Lethal Weapon.
I've driven with you. I don't want you as Crockett.
Lethal Weapon. Who would
Lethal Weapon? The Joe Pesci character in the later episodes.
If we were casting MASH, would I be Klinger? Or would I be Corporal Potter?
Klinger.
Can we back it up another three decades?
Yeah. So if we were watching Little Rascals, Dibs.
You'd have to be. I'd have you as Buckwheat, Lorenzo. How's that feel?
Wow.
Is this what you want? Is this what you designed here?
I rest my case.
I got a question for you. If this were this Madea's awesome. Family Christmas, who would I be?
How about that?
You know what? You would be, you'd be Grandpa, man, because he's always getting high and he's crazy. What's his name, Anna?
What the hell is that supposed to mean, man? This is morning radio. What are you doing?
Son?
Yeah, you would be that son.
What are you doing over there, son? You got any other shows?
No, that's it. That's it.
Who would I be, Lethal Weapon, he says. Neither. You don't really fit either of those. You can't be Riggs and you can't be Murtaugh because you're not coming in here complaining about being old and needing to retire. I've never seen you in a bathtub getting interrupted on your birthday. For Riggs, I don't believe you served in Nam, so I'm not really sure how I equate the two. You can't be Lethal Weapon. I'm sorry. That's not a movie you can be
okay.
in.
If it were Blackish, Low, who would I be? Come on, man. I'm not trying to play the card on you. We're just having some fun.
I was having fun, too.
It got a little personal, okay? It just got a little personal there, buddy.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Seattle.
That's pretty good. We're on to Cincinnati.
All right, so yesterday, news surfaced out of Los Angeles. This is kind of a wild story for a boring team, especially with the fact that they're in Los Angeles. But you'd figure, get off to a good start in L.A. Well, how better to do that? Appease the people. You clearly don't have a marketable product on the field, because when you beat the Jets 9-6, no one's going to really stand up and talk about that all day Monday morning. But here are the Rams, once again on pace for a 6-10 or 7-9 season. Eric Dickerson is arguably, and in the eyes of many, the greatest Los Angeles Ram who has ever lived. He is in the Hall of Fame. He has spoken out that because of his, shall we say, critical comments regarding the team, Jeff Fisher, head coach of the LA Rams, has contacted Dickerson and says he doesn't want him on the sidelines anymore. They're essentially banning ED from covering the team when they're playing their games at the Coliseum on Sundays. Lowe, out of nowhere, dives into his Rolodex this morning when we're talking about this, and within 3 minutes has Eric Dickerson on the phone. He joined us this morning at about 7 o'clock. You can catch the interview on 95.7thegame.com. But for those listening right now, here's Lowe asking ED about the situation. Here's ED breaking it down. It's wild stuff.
Hey, E, man, I love listening to your article and your interview yesterday. And you talk about, look, I wear that yellow jacket and I wear it with pride. And I'm a player first and I'm always going to respect the Rams, the organization, the players. He said, but I don't need to pass. I got a Hall of Fame pass anyway. And so with that being said, can you elaborate a little more on that?
Well, you know, I'll say this much here. Look, first of all, I'm a Ram. And I play for the Los Angeles Rams. And I say again, the Los Angeles Rams. And I love playing for my football team. I love my fans out here. I think all the fans are wearing my jerseys, you know, because I've been retired for a long time. But one thing is that, you know, when I got this, I got the grumbling around, because I do a radio show here about what I've been saying about the team. First of all, I'm always a player. I'm always for the players. I think all former players will always be for the players. I don't want to try to hurt the players in any kind of way. And I got a call that they didn't like what I was saying on the show about the team, and I'm not trying to hurt my team. I mean, like I told Coach Fisher, I want my team to win. I mean, I don't care.
Sure.
You know, hurting some of the media's hurt feelings or some of the coaches' feelings. I want my team to win. That's what it's all about, is winning. Winning solves everything. If you're winning, you know, no one cares. They don't care what Eric Dickerson said. Hey, look, we win a football game. So be it. So I got a call right before the Miami game on that Thursday, because I'd asked for some passes for some friends to go on the sideline. I really didn't want to ask, and I felt uncomfortable asking, because I know how they felt. I just wanted to see what would happen. So I called, and you know, and they said, well, I asked them at the groundbreaking ceremony. They said, Eric, well, you know, some of the stuff you said about the coaches and the team. I said, what? I said, and I asked him, I said, am I lying? Well, no, but, you know, it's just uncomfortable. I said, well, he said, well, look, Jeff Fisher or Les Snead may give you a call. I said, I welcome the call. Have him call me. So sure enough, that Thursday evening, I'm talking to my best friend. We talk on the phone. I told him what was going on. He said, man, you kidding me, Dick. He said, you really going to call you? I said, yep. He said, what they want you to say? He said, what you want to do? Oh, Uncle Tom. I said, I don't know.
Keeping it real.
So I went on the phone. I said, 314. I said, Charles. I said, Dre, let me call you back. There's somebody from the Rams. Pick it up. He said, hey, Eric, this is Jeff Fisher. I said, how you doing, Jeff? He said, I just want to go and say this. You know, I ain't got time for this, but I'm just going to say, look, we're at the Rams. We're not going to be doing anything for you now. We're not going to be supporting you in any kind of thing, any kind of manner. You're talking about the team. You're talking about me. You're talking about my coaches. You know, and you come and you add one stuff from the organization. You know, we're not supporting anything you do. You know, the players feel uncomfortable with you on the sideline. The coaches feel uncomfortable. So, you know, we can't do that. And so I just let him go ahead and finish, you know, and let him say what he had to say. And I didn't say anything. I just listened. Because that's what I was taught. You know, my mom said, two people can't talk. I just listened. I didn't say one word. So I said, Jeff, I said, I want to thank you for the call, man. I appreciate it. I said, somebody had the guts to call me from over there. Because I said, I've heard the grumbling. I said, Jeff, let me explain something to you. Man, I don't need nothing from the Rams. I said, you think I've been sitting around waiting for the Rams to come back in town? I said, I lived in L.A. for 30 years. I said, it ain't like that with me. I'm not that guy. I said, anybody who knows me knows I'm not a guy laying out there with my hands out looking for a handout. I said, if y'all feel like I owe you something, I said, send me a bill. I said, I'll pay for it. I said, yeah, by the way, I said, you could go back to Tennessee. You could coach the Cleveland Browns. You could go back to SC. I said, Les Snead could get fired. I said, Kevin Demoff could get fired. I said, but I will always be Eric Dickerson of the Los Angeles Rams. I said, that's why I wore that. That's why I wear that yellow jacket. I said, man, I love my football team. I'm sorry that I'm hurting some feelings. I said, but I want to win like everyone else. I said, that's all it is. I said, I'm passionate about my football team. Then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, Eric, man, that's not what we want. You know, I want you to come over. And I said, in my mind, I'm like, okay, which one is it? You know, we had Britney Spears on the sideline. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, I don't care about no Britney Spears coming on sidelines. You know, she's a great artist, but she don't play football. That don't resonate with me.
Wow, I don't care about Britney Spears.
Yeah, man.
Well, there are a lot of things to take away from the interview. That was some of the humorous stuff. I mean, E.D.'s fired up. That is a Hall of Fame running back. He should be ambassador number one for this team in their relocation to Los Angeles. Yet, here we are, not even in December yet, and there's strife, Lo. There's strife.
Right, and here's the thing. If this was Chip Kelly, you say, we're saying, hey, what's going on with Trent Baalke, and we don't understand. We're putting this more on Chip, on Trent than Chip. You look at Jack Del Rio when he comes in. We gave him time. You give coaches time. Jeff Fisher has had plenty of time for this Rams organization. And it's going to be interesting because don't think that the media is not running with this and they're not going to interview players. And I want to hear the players say, he's a distraction. I highly doubt it. That you'll hear the running back and the players on that team say, Eric Dickens is a distraction. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I don't think you'll hear it because I don't think the players are, disagreeing with Eric. I think a lot of those players think that their team is underachieving.
In all your years in the league, was a former player who had moved into the media, Dan Fouts, for example, guys of that nature, had they ever been a distraction to you guys? If they were critical of it, first of all, those guys are going to know your plight more than anybody else. Former players will understand current players' plights more than anyone else. I think you can be the most sympathetic to current players now because you get what they're going through.
Sure, and that's the thing. I try to be fair, and I try to take care of the players. You know I defend players. When I have to, I'll stand up against everyone and defend players. There was a guy that, you know, a lot of guys didn't necessarily like coming out right away. And sometimes he could be a little over the top. I like him, but at times, sometimes he says things and players didn't like him when I was playing. They're kind of talking about him like, dude, this dude's just too much. And they didn't.
Who are you talking about?
Trent Dilfer.
Oh, Dilfer.
Yeah. A lot of players when they were playing, while they were playing and Trent was retired, a lot of things that he said kind of rubbed a lot of players different.
In what way, if you don't mind?
I think that they didn't get him. Trent has, you got to realize, that's why Trent's been there so long, his tenure, because he's brash, he can be to the point, and sometimes he doesn't soften the blow. And while guys were playing, he was, you know, kind of critical on certain guys, and guys were like, dude, Dilfer, you were, you know, What'd you do?
You're Trent Dilfer. You're not Steve Young. That
right.
sort of situation. Okay.
Right.
That's so, understandable.
And I know Trent knows that. I know Trent knows that. I know he knows that. You know, I have a great relationship with Trent, but I think that at times players, a lot of players were playing, and that's what they were that was kind of their take of him. And I think over time you watch Trent, he's very good at what he does.
O'Neal Trent Dilfer, Merton Riggs.
There it is.
Tubbs.
Boom.
You can decide who gets to play who in that scenario. Sean Livingston is set to join us in 10 minutes. Dibs, let's address this. Some people are suggesting that this rift between ED and Jeff Fisher, it's all concocted. That it's L.A. fairy dust being sprinkled in to draw attention to the team. If you can't entice them on the field, entice them with a little drama off the field. You think there's any truth to that, or is this all legitimate?
I think it's all legitimate. I think it's a case of Eric Dickerson having a platform and speaking his mind about a product that he thinks is falling short of the bar and falling short of what L.A. deserves. All you have to do is look at the TV ratings and see that the L.A. game is fourth in their own market. Fourth place, beaten by national games, to know that L.A. fans are not riveted by this Rams product. They're not locked in to what the Rams are doing, and maybe this controversy gets more people interested in it, but you're just showing the problems with your franchise here.
Fisher sold him, Joe. He sold him. He played at USC. He's a local LA guy. Wife was a queen, homecoming queen, all those different things at USC. He said he's a California guy. Who better to usher this team in? And it was the best thing for Jeff Fisher to do was come from where they're at in St. Louis to LA because he could handle the meeting. It's Jeff Fisher. And I'm going to tell you, it was good, but I think now they're starting to see past that. You can polish up something all you want, but it still is what it is. And right now, that's where Jeff is. Let's be real. How many years he's been a coach, and how many winning records does he have? So this is not just 1 year, or is it second year? Even though this is a new franchise, it was an old franchise, but now a new franchise again. This has not been Jeff Fisher's 1, 2, 3 years. This guy's been there for a while. And name me 1 year that he had won over 8 games.
That is an excellent point because most coaches do not get 5 years to get it going in the NFL. In college, you might get a little bit more of a run if you can put some product out there, if you can put some results out there. But bottom line is 5 years. Josh McDaniels didn't get 5 years. Nobody in Cleveland gets 5 years. Hell, Cleveland will have 7 coaches in 5 years. Oakland for the longest time. Nobody was getting 5 years. Take a look at your scenarios, man. The days of Andy Reid and Mike Tomlins and Bill Belichick's, those are few and far between. What you have now is the situations in Tampa, the situations in Detroit, Cleveland. Teams that have quick overhauls. You got to deliver in the NFL. 5 years is a long time. He's had plenty of time to get it done. I think what the Rams are realizing is you wanted to leave St. Louis. You had your nice little bubble there. You were in the Midwest. Things operated a certain way. Now you're in the big city. L.A. is the entertainment capital of the country, possibly the world, some would say. And this is what you bring to the table? A 9-6 win over the Jets? People don't care about that. People do not care about 9-6 wins over the Jets. You can lose, but go down like Texas Tech in the Big 12. Put up 55 points. Make sure. It exciting for the people, Dibs. They want to be excited down there.
And they're starting to see with Jared Goff a little bit. He's showing you some things in his second start. He looked much better than he did in his first start. But at the very core, this team is built on defense and a ground game, which is not that sexy and not that exciting. If you win, people will be interested in it, but the novelty's wearing off in L.A. fast.
He teabagged them, Dibs. You played against the Saints, Coach. Who hasn't scored, Joe, against the Saints? Saints got the best defense in football, right? Right, Joe?
They were up 14-7 in that game, and then I looked up, and it was like 49-20, and it was like, what happened? I went and picked up wings. What happened here?
Right, so tell me, is the Saints got a good defense? Everyone scores on the Saints. Come on, Coach.
I simply said, if you would do yourself a favor and listen with those JBLs you have on, very handsome, Jared Goff looked better. Are you going to say he didn't look better?
I'm saying
answer the question, Lowe. It's just one question.
Yes, he looked better. Against two.
Case closed.
Against two, Coach.
Case closed.
Against two, Coach.
Case closed.
All right. This could go on all day. It's not good radio. Going back and forth like that. Humorous, yes. Professional, maybe to an extent. But
okay,
go ahead and move the conversation. I'm not answering that question.
You won't even answer it.
I'm not getting stuck in the same loop that Dibs just did, all right? I'm not getting stuck in that loop. I'm going to move the conversation one step further.
WP!
Has Fisher's job become less secure in the wake of this situation with Eric Dickerson? He was already on a bit of a hot seat. Has it gotten a bit hotter?
Definitely. Definitely it's gotten hotter. And you're seeing the fans not interested in your team not playing well, and now a legend coming out and saying that you're banning him? That definitely doesn't help him.
Absolutely. I'm with you on that, Dibs.
Quit stealing from me. Follow me all over the place.
Merton Riggs, ladies and gentlemen. It's dynamite stuff. Sean Livingston. He's up next. Joe Low and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Low and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
18 games into the season. Golden State Warriors are 16-2. You know what I was thinking about last night watching the game?
What's that?
Let's revisit Kevin Durant's decision to come play for the Golden State Warriors. How's it working out through 18 games for KD? I'm glad I asked myself that because now I can answer it. You know what he's doing?
What are you doing?
Work smarter, not harder. It's what Russell Westbrook doesn't understand. You break up that dynamic duo. Durant is thriving with less. I want to take you through a process here, all right? Minutes per game. Fewer minutes this season than last season. In fact, the 34.4 minutes per game KD's recording this season, second lowest total of his career. Okay? So you would expect all of his numbers to take a hit.
Yeah.
Perhaps Kevin Durant isn't getting enough touches. Perhaps Kevin Durant made a huge mistake. He's not going to fit in here. Well, he's also shooting the ball less than he ever has in his career, 16.9 attempts per game. So it's the second lowest total of minutes and lowest total of field goal attempts per game. But he's averaging 27.1 points per game this season. Mm-hmm. He's got a higher rebound total this year than last year, higher steal total this year than last year, higher block total this year than last year, and his assist total is almost right on the money. Kevin Durant is producing as at a high of level as last year, if not better, in less minutes with less shots. He has become what, gentlemen? More efficient.
Sure.
More efficient. That's exactly what he's looking for. He realized in Oklahoma City, playing with Russ can be great. But I'm tired of getting the ball with 4 seconds left on the shot clock. I'm tired of having to wait because right now it's going to be Russ's time, whether he's covered or not, whether I'm open or not. Now I'm playing on a team with ball movement. Now I'm playing on a team where I can put in a few less minutes to preserve the body, take a few less shots, but I can produce at as high of a level.
Sure.
Kevin Durant is thriving. 18 games. Oh, by the way, his new team, 16-2, best record in basketball, with a plus 12.7 scoring differential, number one in the NBA. How's Russell Westbrook doing? He's thriving too, isn't he? He, last night in a win over the Knicks, third in a row for Oklahoma City, is now averaging a triple-double on the season, ladies and gentlemen. 30.9 points, 11.3 assists, 10.3 rebounds. But his field goal attempts are up. His minutes are up, and his success for a team is down. Oklahoma City, 11-8, 11th best record in the NBA, 11th best scoring differential in the NBA. Blown out by the Warriors, blown out by the Pistons, losses against Toronto, the Clippers, Orlando, Indiana, Los Angeles, the Lakers, that is, and Sacramento have all beaten Oklahoma City this year. Russ is putting up ungodly numbers.
Yeah.
He might work his way towards an MVP. But in the long run, how much is it going to mean when you might miss the playoffs? And if you get in, you're going to get run right out. Meanwhile, everyone wanted to criticize KD for leaving. More efficient. More efficient. His numbers are just as solid, but it's taking less minutes and less shots to get there.
And he's on a team that's winning at a higher rate. And you don't have to deal with playing with Russell Westbrook anymore, a guy who's ball dominant, who doesn't like to pass the ball. KD is now in a flowing share the ball offense as opposed to Oklahoma City, where it was Kevin's turn to shoot. All right, next trip down, it'll be Russell's turn to shoot. That's not fun to play after 10 years of that.
Yeah, and not just that. My dad always told me a fast horse run fast, but he doesn't run long. Russell Westbrook's going to be tired. They're coming in a year. He's going to be worn down because he has to do too much. Kevin Durant's playing better defense because he can expend more energy on defense and do other things because of the fact the offense is moving the ball, like Joe alluded to, so much. When the ball is moving and you're not playing one-on-one basketball, you're saving more energy on offense because now you're just moving the ball, and if you move faster, the ball is always going to be faster than humans running around. So now he can spend more defense, more energy on defense, Joe. And that's why I think his numbers will continue to rise.
Work smarter, not harder, ladies and gentlemen. We are efforting Sean Livingston, hoping he gives us a shout. If by Livingston standards, this interview holds up to the ones before, he always slides in about 5-6 minutes late.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should even call it late. We should just call it Sean Livingston time. We're the buffoons for continuing to say 9:30. Livingston, we know, is always going to come on around 9:38 or so.
You know what we call that? You know what we call that, Joe?
What do we call it?
So we call that CP time.
Now, see, if I say that, all of a sudden I'm the bad guy. But you can say that, and it's all that low.
Earlier, the movie situation in both those two movies, I was the obvious. So
yeah, you're B.A. Baracus, but not because you're black. Dibley can't be anyone but Murtaugh.
Murdoch.
Sorry, I got the confused.
It's okay. You're fine. It's okay. And then we talked about Miami Vice. Well, who else could I have been, Coach?
I've driven with you. I don't want you driving the Ferrari. I've driven with you. Guys on the cell phone,
Anna,
trying to close business
deals,
weaving across the center line.
Sorry,
no. Oh, Coach.
Weigh in on that. Do you agree with me on that one? Are you just going to pass
the
buck?
I'm just trying to be nice right now.
Oh, there you go. She was given the handle of the attractive one. So, yeah, that's right.
105, 100, your final last night. I actually prefer these games. Over the last few years, these are the Warrior games I prefer to watch. Why? Because the team's backed into a corner a little bit. Teams got to show some adversity. Teams got to respond. Teams show some resilience. Now, a lot of teams in situations like this, they close up shop. It's an 82-game season. So be it. It's late. You've won 11 in a row. What's the 12th? Who cares? Things are cooking. But not the Warriors. No. They were going to go out. They were going to win this game last night. They were going to find a way, and they did it with Draymond Green on the defensive side of the floor. I've said this for a long time, and I'm not the only one who feels this way. You're going to learn a lot more about a person, about a team, about an organization when they're backed into a corner and when they're facing adversity than when they're succeeding. Look at Cam Newton. Everything looks great when Newton's scoring and his team's winning. But when the chips are down, what happens to Newton? He can't handle it. He gets upset. And that's not to say it's the end of the world for Cam Newton. It's not to say he's a bad guy. But he doesn't handle adversity well. This team, they respond. And that's what you want in the NBA. That's what you want in professional sports. That's what you want in life. The ability to improve upon your mistakes. The ability to get better every single day. Who would you say you trust in the NFL? Let's look at the last 5 years in the NFL. What teams do you trust?
Seattle, New England. You
bankable.
Know those, yeah, those. Yeah, of course.
They're bankable. Seattle, in the last 5 years, has lost 21 games during the regular season. 21 losses the last 5 years for the Seattle Seahawks. One has been by double digits. Let that resonate for a second.
In 5 years?
5 years, including this year and then the four seasons prior.
They've lost one game by more than 10 points.
One game.
Wow.
It was week two last year at Green Bay. 27-17, exactly 10 points.
Wow.
The other 20 losses they have sustained have been by single digits. This team can respond to adversity. In tough spots, they may not always win, but they are always in it. They do not fold up shop. You know the teams that aren't bankable this year looking around? The ones you would question? Do you really trust the Baltimore Ravens? They're 6-5 and on top of the division.
No.
But they already have two double-digit losses this year. Do you trust Tampa Bay?
No.
They've got a hot young quarterback. They're winning some games. They're 6-5. Three double-digit losses this season. What about Indianapolis and Andrew Luck? Big contract. Soft division. Chance to get back in it. 5-6 with three double-digit losses. Last night is exactly what you want to see from the Warriors. First half was sloppy. Trailed 53-50. It was just the fourth time this season they trailed at the half. Just the second time at home. 11 first-half turnovers resulting in 16 Atlanta points. Some really porous defense, and only shooting 45% from the floor. Yet, they came out in the second half, and they found a way to get it done. That is what you should be looking for. That is the hallmark of an experienced, veteran, championship team. Winning by 20, winning by 30, those games are always fun because they're easy. These are the games I love to watch, however.
Question. Last night was a gut check. This is a team that, like you said, could have turned and said, hey, you know what? Were enough. They kept it, the score down low, and scored 105. They usually score a lot more points. And this was a battle. I mean, guys were going after, playing good defense on both ends of the court. Dibs, this is a team showing that they have some resilience, showing the team that they're tough. They're showing that they're not going to quit. So I'm liking what I'm getting to see, and especially on the defensive side of the court, Dibs.
It's versatility too, Lo. It's the ability to put up 149 and win and being able to score 105, 106 and also be able to win. And that game, they tried to put Atlanta away two or three times in the fourth quarter. The Hawks kept coming back. Draymond Green with the two big stops at the end ultimately helped to hold the Hawks off. But it just reminds you that
whatever you say is right. Defense wins championship. Offense puts up.
Offense
sells tickets and entertains.
Defense
wins championships. And when you have Draymond back there and KD, whose defense has been improved, shot blocking is on the rise, all of a sudden you don't have to hang 130 in order to win.
They're the A-team. They find a way to get it done.
Speaking of the A-team, to
Thank
the phones
you,
we go, Robert in Pacifica. Robert in Pacifica, what's up? Where's Low Fit for you?
Gentlemen, I want to say this. As far as Low is concerned, I came from L.A. I was here when you guys first came on the air. I had to go back to L.A. for a couple months. I come back into town. There's no better show than you guys in the morning. There's no better sports show. You guys are the pinnacle of everything that there is. Next to Greg Papa, you guys are just the best. I really enjoy it.
So we're the second best.
Football. There's nobody better when it comes to football than Lowe. That the man, dude, you are so eloquent when you speak about football.
Here we go.
Now,
crush
if,
me.
if you guys were the Rat Pack, Lowe, you would not be Sammy Davis. You'd be Frank Sinatra.
Oh, wow!
Ooh. No, he didn't.
I like this guy.
I will say, though, I actually prefer Dean Martin.
Dean Martin? Okay.
I prefer. So I would W Dean Martin.
Fly me to the moon.
I don't know. Let him go. Let him go.
You know that one, Joe? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know it, but don't try to bail out. You lost yourself after four words and you just stopped.
Oh, no.
Try to go, hey, Joe, you like the way I'm singing? Yeah, I'd like words 5, 6, and 7, please. All right, more on that next. Can Lowe really be Frank Sinatra? We'll debate. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
No screwing around. We're going right to the phones. Very happy to be joined by Warriors guard Sean Livingston here on Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Sean, good morning. How's everything going?
Man, it's great. How's it going with you?
We're hanging in there. You guys, yes, obviously very busy with the season. Everything's cooking with gas at the moment. Do you get an opportunity to take a break for Thanksgiving? How does a basketball team go about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to take the opportunity for holidays, get a chance to enjoy it with family. Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays because I love to eat. I know it may not look like it because I'm so skinny, but it was a great holiday.
Do you consider gravy to be a side or a condiment?
Boy, great question.
Yeah, if you thought you were coming in here getting some softballs, you're sorely mistaken, my friend.
Man, condiments, you put it on every. I mean, honestly, you put it on everything for Thanksgiving. You got to.
So is it a condiment or a side? I mean, come on, it's not coming out of a plastic bottle like ketchup. Someone has to put some time.
Don't bully the witness.
Don't bully the witness.
I'll leave the witness, damn it. He said condiment. I think he
said
condiment.
You know what? No. I did. If I'm putting it on everything, it's probably side. I'm going to have to switch it up.
That's how it works, ladies and gentlemen. Man. Sean Livingston.
I'm going to have to switch it up. I'm going to have to go side.
Sean Livingston, greatest living basketball player on the planet, joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. You know, it sounds like I'm joking, but not exactly. On the road trip you guys were just on, you had an opportunity in between the time from the Milwaukee game and the Indiana game to visit a school in Peoria, Illinois. This is the school you attended, kindergarten through eighth grade, Concordia Lutheran. And if I'm not mistaken, you donated $1 million to help a project there, a renovation project, become a reality. I'm sure you don't like to talk about it that much, but that's a big move, man. I can't imagine how thankful the community's got to be for you stepping in like that.
Yeah, it was a passion project for me, something that I always wanted to do when I made it to the NBA. And, you know, I think, you know, we have an obligation. You know, I mean, there's a responsibility, I think, to be able to help, you know, others, to be able to help, you know, inspire others, especially kids. You know, when I go back home, I've been putting on basketball camps for kids. And, you know, this is my grade school. This is a school that, you know, really shaped, you know, my character and who I am. So, you know, I was grateful to do something like this.
Sean, in football, we like to say, you know, football is what I did, but it's not who I am. It doesn't define me as a man. And basketball is what you do, but it's not who you are as a man. So, what went into decision-making of that? You know, I know you can go out there and participate, but that's commitment, putting your money where your mouth is. And is that something you talked with your parents? Is that just something you said, I'm going to do this? And what was all the thought process went into that?
Yeah, I thought about it long and hard. Like I said, it was kind of like, you know, some passion projects that I really wanted to do. You know, places that I grew up, schools that I went to. I got a chance to work with my high school, and you know, we donated some money to build a weight room, and that was, you know, that was something I always wanted to do as well. And you know, working with my grade school, building a new gym, it was kind of like a dream come true for me. It was a project that had been in place since, man, 1994. You know, when I was going to school there, you know, maybe like second grade. So this was something that was really, you know, always on my mind ever since I made it to the NBA. And, you know, I was just blessed to get a chance to do it.
Warriors guard Sean Livingston joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Pretty gutsy win over Atlanta last night when the team wasn't firing on all offensive cylinders. How much does that help your confidence as a defensive team to come through so late in that game against Atlanta?
Well, I mean, that's what we want to hang our hats on, honestly. You know, I mean, it's true. It's cliche, but it's, you know, defense wins championships. You know, the team that, you know, has to get the last stop. And, you know, for us to really, you know, go where we want to go, our defense has to carry us. That has to be, hang our hat on. I mean, we're a talented team. We can definitely score, probably with the best of them just because of our talent. But, you know, defensively, that's where our mindset has to be.
Everyone talks about the death lineup and this and that, but how about the long lineup when it's you and Clay in the backcourt and you've got Draymond and you've got Iguodala and you've got maybe Kevon Looney in there or KD? What kind of defensive presence does that long lineup have for you guys?
Well, it allows us to switch. You know, we're more versatile. You know, it really allows us to kind of maybe pressure the ball and, you know, switch and rotate. I mean, coach always talks about activating our defense. And, I mean, it's something that, you know, I think once we do, it allows us to get out in the open court. You know, once we get stops, you know, we're tough in the open court and transition. You know, and I think it allows our offense to flow, you know, smoothly. That's probably the best offense we have is, you know, when our defense is set up and it's good.
Sean, as always, we know you got a lot going on, so we really appreciate the time. Thanks for swinging by. Best of luck with everything this week. We'll catch up with you down the road sometime next week, hopefully.
Yes, sir. Sounds good.
Sean Livingston, ladies and gentlemen of the Golden State Warriors, with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. All Warriors guests always sound better if you're wearing JBL headphones, the official sound of the Golden State Warriors, and 95.7 The Game. And tickets for all Warriors home games, including Thursday's contest against the Beard and the Rockets, and Saturday's game against the Suns, always available on Warriors.com. Even in the event of a sellout, there are always last-minute holds and secondary tickets for resale available on Warriors.com. Tubbs, you had a terrific show today, I think. I think it was MVP level.
MVP?
You were booking guests.
I can appreciate that.
You came in hot early in the morning.
Yeah.
Hirosh's hot takes was just remarkable.
Phenomenal.
UNED. There's not a whole lot more I can say. What? If you'd like to be promoted, okay, please. Obviously.
Since you said I got
the floor is yours.
Thank you, since I did such a great job. What I want to say about Sean Livingston real quick, Joe, is a lot of NBA players, football players, they make way more than this guy. He put $1 million in. That speaks volumes about him, Dibs.
Yeah, it does. And a kid straight out of high school to the NBA had the horrific, just the one of the most savage injuries you'll ever see in any sport. And he's able to come back and now get to be a part of a championship team. And he makes good scratch, but not to where you can just give $1 million without thinking twice about it. He's an impressive young guy.
Cerebral. He understands the little things. What's important in life? Gravy is a side. You stupid fools.
No,
gravy is a side. I told you.
You walked it. That was nice.
Yeah. No,
nice.
He said condiment first, and all of a sudden you kept baiting
you're
him.
You're good.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn, you missed it, son.
Livingston had never been asked the question before, and he just responded off the cuff. And then it was like, you know what? In America, we rush to judgment on everything.
There you go.
Why don't you take the opportunity to reflect for a few moments and think about it? He goes, you know what? Now that I think about it, Joe.
Those tricky lawyer types.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to agree with you that gravy is a side. People who make gravy put far too much time and effort and love into the product to have it categorized with some plastic goop that comes out of the fridge and just plops down onto your hot dog.
Joe, we understand no one likes gravy more than you. We understand that.
No one.
It's not about loving gravy. It's about properly classifying gravy. Let's get organized, people.
If loving gravy is wrong, I don't want to be right, Lo. That's all there is.
Fly me to the moon.
This show was gravy, ladies and gentlemen. One of the better shows I feel that we've put together. So we will be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Red hot and razor sharp. JT the Brick is coming up next. For Anna, for Lo, for Dibs, I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. Thanks for hanging out with us today, everybody. This is 95.7 The Game.
You know, we had Britney Spears on the sideline. I'm thinking, my mind, like, I don't care about no Britney Spears coming on the sideline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.